Sky Sports Radio combined with Harness Racing New South Wales brings you On The Pace for your daily dose of news and tips.
Good morning, welcome to On The Pace. Michael Guerin joining you for the next half an hour to go through a huge weekend of harness racing. Look, I know it was massive for the Gallops with the championships and all that incredibly memorable stuff. So we're going to just change tack a little bit because they also had a really big night for harness racing on Friday. And we're going to go back and talk about that because a lot of you probably had either forgotten about it or didn't get a chance to see it. We had New Zealand versus Australia at Cambridge, which is a galloping town in the Waikato of New Zealand. A $600,000 slot trot race, the richest ever trot race in Australasia, and the $1 million race by Grins for the Pacers. After all the action and the dust had settled, the honours were shared, but technically I think Australia wins because it's so hard to go to another country and beat them at their own game. It's even harder to do it sitting parked. That's what Just Believe, a.k.a. Harry, did in the TAB trot. He led home a unbelievable Australian-trained first four. He, Call Me The Breeze, Queen Elida, and RC Phoenix. The man in the sulky and the quasi-co-trainer, along with his wife Jess Tubbs, of Just Believe is Greg Sugars. He joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Greg. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us, mate.
Yeah, g'day, Mick. No problem at all.
Mate, that must have been fun. I know you've been around the world with this horse, but trotting and trotters as opposed to pacers in New Zealand are held in enormously high regard because probably 8 years out of 10, they're better than the Australians. But I thought your boy, Just Believe, produced a no-argument performance, not just for the Kiwis, but for the French-bred multi-million-dollar trotter, Call Me The Breeze. And I think, Greg, it was his best performance in this part of the world.
Yeah, no, too right. It was, sure was a lot of fun. It was a fantastic race. It was such depth to it. And, and as you say, for the Australian-trained horses to come out in the first four positions, it's just something that was, you know, never even thought possible. Going back years gone by, I can't ever remember a time period in my time in the sport where, you know, we've had, a couple of trotters that would sort of match it with the very best Kiwi trotters at any given time. But, certainly the depth in Australian trotting racing is outstanding, at this point in time.
He had to sit parked outside a really good horse. Call Me The Breeze, we saw at Menangle during the carnival, was outstanding. He beat you in the Great Southern Star. What were you thinking about 800 from home when the big boy was in front of you and you were covering more ground?
Yeah, look, I sort of read the race that way, that's how it was going to unfold. So I knew, you know, we were going to have to put up a super performance if we were going to win on Friday night. And a lap to go. I was, you know, quite happy with the way I was positioned and the way the race had unfolded to that point in time. But I certainly, that far out, I certainly wasn't confident of victory, but I knew I was going to be in for the fight. And thankfully he got the job done for us.
We hear a lot from trainers and drivers that this horse will sit parked, he relaxes out there, it's not an issue, but usually it's rubbish. Most horses don't like sitting parked and they cover more ground and they leave themselves a sitting duck and they get beaten. So what do you think it is about Harry that he's been able to buck that trend at the highest level?
Yeah, it's hard to know, really. He's such a professional racehorse and for some reason I think he seems to love racing outside of one and having a real fight on his hands. He actually seems to travel better from that position than if he was actually in front, which is very unusual. A lot of horses can be considerably below their best from that position for whatever reason, whether it's a mental thing or what, they just can't do it. But this guy's very different. He's done so much racing from that position and he seems to really thrive on it.
He's not a very big horse. He's not tiny, but he's not big, and he's definitely not big compared to Call Me The Breeze. Tell us what sort of horse he is, because from afar, he looks like he'd be a sweetheart. He looks like he's a very placid type of horse. But to race at this level all around the world and keep turning up for work, I presume he must be a decent eater, and I presume he must be pretty sound.
Yeah, absolutely. No, touch wood, to this point in time, he has been a very sound horse. And, he is great in the eating department. He's a real pleasure to train, you know, apart from being obviously a horse that's blessed with an enormous amount of ability. If every horse you ever trained had his attitude and his mannerisms, it'd be the easiest job in the world. He's pretty, like, low maintenance and pretty, pretty low key a lot of the times at home. And, he does get a little bit smart from time to time and has a little bit of arrogance about him on certain occasions. But, he's just a wonderful animal. And as you say, he's not the biggest one out there. He doesn't have the greatest presence, but he has a hell of a stride on him, which I think really goes a long way to make, you know, his gait so economical and make him able to do the things he does.
When you say he has that touch of arrogance a lot of good horses have, how does that manifest? Is he... one, he might give you a kick when you're playing around with the rear straps, or is he one who has a little nip, or does he do the more annoying thing where he backs you into a wall and pids all his weight into you and squeezes you up?
Yeah, a little bit of that. He's not really a biter or a kicker, but he's sort of always, he can be a little bit pushy at times. Usually when he's looking for some treats, he loves his carrots, and when they're not forthcoming, he sort of lets you know that, hey, I'm pretty special here, I need some attention. So just little things like that, to let us know that he's the boss.
All right, last year you and Jess took him to Sweden on the adventure of a lifetime. I believe you're not going back, but you are still staying overseas. You're going to stay in New Zealand for the next two races, which I think are Friday week and the week after. What was the whole thought process around staying in New Zealand, not going to Sweden, and what 2024 holds for Just Believe?
Yeah, we thought long and hard about the Sweden adventure this time around, because, you know, there's, from our point of view, we come away with, from the last year's trip, with, you know, somewhat unfinished business, not being able to pinch a win while we're over there. And, you know, it was such a wonderful experience to see their style of racing, and you know, the whole adventure was amazing. But last year, obviously, we didn't travel across to New Zealand, and just the timing was a bit tough, I thought, this time around to go across to New Zealand. We knew we were going to have, you know, hard racing, and then to get back and then send him on that long journey, it was all too a bit, you know, just a bit too tough at the end of the day. So there's such wonderful racing opportunities here at the moment, both in Australia and New Zealand. So we've opted just to leave him in the Southern Hemisphere this time around, see if we can pinch a bit more Kiwi money while we're there, and then obviously get him ready for the feature races here later on in the year in Australia. And obviously with a third into Dominion is, you know, high on our agenda.
Okay, there's a $60,000 race on Friday week, then there's $110,000 New Zealand, which is about $100,000 Australian the week after. Then you have a decision to make about whether you stick around for another 3.5 weeks type thing for the Road Cup, which is $200,000. What do you make of that? And I know you've got plenty of mates in New Zealand. Is it a case that, because obviously you have other things to do as well, you could leave him with somebody else for a couple of weeks, then come back, or is he too precious for that?
Yeah, no, that's certainly a possibility. So, you know, if the next two races go well, and, you know, we're looking well placed for, you know, a race like the Roe Cup, then, that's probably the most likely scenario that we'll, I'll have, you know, come back home and, do a bit of work around Lara J Farm and take a bit of pressure off the guys back there. And, then we'll head back and obviously make sure he's spot on for the Roe Cup if we decide to go down that path.
Your good mate Josh Dickey lives in New Zealand now. He works at the property you're staying at. I suppose that would make the decision a lot easier. He would know how you guys train, and if you had to park him up, you'd be dealing with somebody who knows the horse.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a fantastic facility. At Stonewall Stud there, where we're stabled. So I'm sure, you know, that they'll look after him very, very well for us. And, you know, if that's the situation that unfolds, then, he'll be well looked after. I'm sure he won't be missing out on any special attention.
The race by Grins was worth $1 million on Friday night, and you and Jess also had a runner in that, which is no small deal. And Better Eclipse had to go back. I thought he was really good in running fifth. But I think these 2 4-year-olds, Merlin and Don't Stop Dreaming, have maybe emerged as the next two best horses behind maybe Leap to Fame, Swayze, those type of horses. I think they're the ones who are next in the pecking order Australasian wide now, Greg.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's hard not to be impressed with what both those horses have done over the recent months. Both had trips across to Sydney and campaigned very well there, but it seems to have really brought them on, as racehorses. And their last couple of runs back in their home soil have been outstanding. So you would only think that they're going to continue to improve with that more open class racing under their belt. Back to our fella, Better Eclipse. We were wrapped with his run. Obviously, he was with the void of luck with a bad barrier draw and settled out the back. But under the circumstances, the times they ran home and the ground he made up, I don't think we could have expected any more from him.
Okay, does he stay on?
Yes, yeah. He'll head to the Taylor Mile next and then the Messenger the week later. And then, a decision will be made on him whether... Well, he hasn't been qualified from a stand, so the Auckland Cup and the lead-up race for that are both stands. So that's a tough decision to make to see whether we can qualify him from a stand and stay on for those races for him.
Apparently yesterday, I didn't see the meeting because I was doing some other stuff, but you went to Methven on the massive grass track. This is a mile grass track in the South Island. What did you make of that experience? Because I'm sure you've driven on the grass before, but not on those huge, big fields down there. It's a very different type of racing.
Yeah, no, that was actually my first time driving on grass track racing, so that the whole experience was very foreign to me. And, it's a wonderful, wonderful track. Everyone told us that if you're going to drive on the grass, that's the place to do it. And, we had a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I didn't come away with the winner there either. I had a couple of placings, a couple of seconds and third and fourth. So I was around the money, but, didn't quite get my nose in front when it counted, unfortunately. But, very different than driving on the sand or grit tracks. So it's a different style of racing and probably takes a different type of horse to sort of compete on the grass, I think, from that experience. But it certainly was a lot of fun and an experience I was very glad to have under my belt now.
Mate, you're having a lot of fun. This horse is, I know it's not changing the dynamic of your life, but it's given you some wonderful experiences with Jess. Congratulations on flying the Australian flag so high on Friday night, and again for Fridays coming up in the next month or so, mate. We'll be following Harry's progress here on Sky Sport Radio. And thanks for joining us, Greg, on the pace.
No worries, Mick. Thank you very much.
Greg Sugar's doing himself proud, as is Jess Tubbs, and as is, of course, Just Believe. You can't do it without the horsepower. He was super winning the TAB trot for 600 large. And just in case you were wondering, in a trot slot race, the 600 large means the winner gets 255,000, which is a lot of money for a trotting race. A lot of money. Let's talk to Jack Traynor. Jack was not there in New Zealand. He was there last year, I think it was, or the year before, one or the other. He's been in this race before. He is having to stay on Menangle because at the moment he has one of the hottest teams of female pacers I can remember in the last 5 years, maybe longer. Morning to you, Jack. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, mate. Everything good here, mate?
Mate, you seem to be, I don't mean to do the obvious pun, you seem to be the real ladies' man of Menangle harness racing at the moment, because for the last 4 or 5 years, anybody who wants to send you a good mare or filly from New Zealand, they go, well, we'll send it to Jack Traynor, and they just keep rolling up and winning. You unleashed a new one last week at the trials on Artie's Express, and I would say, Jack, she's as good as any of them.
Yeah, as you know, Mick, I've been trying to claim that I'm a ladies' man for about the last 10 years, but it's probably only now on the track that it's starting to show. And, you're right about Artie's Express. She trialled really good the other day. Her first trial was a little bit below par. She was just a little bit funky in her gait, and we made a couple of changes during the week. And, last Wednesday, she was running 25 quarter and done it with ease. So she's an exciting mare, and she obviously come over with a great record. She's won 13 from 19 starts, and you know, it was good too. I've been able to pick Steve Telfer and Tim Williams' brains a lot since I've had her, and they've helped me a lot with her to get me on the front foot. So yeah, like you said, she's probably one of the better mares in my barn at the moment.
Okay, they've got some big mares racing coming up, and you've got her and Manhattan and Braveview, Kelly. How many mares do you have to aim at these major races coming up at Menangle?
Yeah, they're the main three. Mick, obviously, all three of them are nominated for Saturday night. You've got another couple of mares that are just below the best of them that might have a go the following week if they make it into the race. But, yeah, realistically, those three are my main three charges.
Who's the better of the three for the Ladyship, which I think is a couple of weeks away?
Yeah, I think on ability, you have to say Artie's Express. I think her record speaks for itself. And she's just got that blinding high speed. And she can follow speed too. Obviously, both the other mares, Manhattan and Braveview Kelly, are in good form and hard to fault. But if you had to narrow one down, it would be Artie's Express on ability.
You had an unusual night at Menangle on Saturday night. Successful, but unusual. You drove No Heartthrob to win. You drove Super Duper Dude to win for Seton Greamer. And then later on, you drove a trotter to win for Jason Grimson, who doesn't seem to train many trotters and seems to have got his hands on a good one in Royal Dan, because it's gone 52-9. I think that surprised a few people.
Yeah, that's right. I'd say there'd be a few people that have had trotters over the last few years wishing that Grimmo hadn't taken one into his care, but he's a really nice trotter. He's one that also has a great record, and he was obviously formerly trained by Emma Stewart, and I think he's suited to the big track, and he just loved his work out in front on Saturday night. He even took me another 400 metres to pull him up. He just felt like he could hold a high speed for a long time, so he's only lightly raced, and he's going to have a real bright future going forward. And yeah, obviously, like you said, the other two winners, No Heartthrob, I'm really impressed with him. He's won all four starts since joining us in Australia, and I think that was only his fifth ever race day start, and he was able to win a Metropolitan race in 151 and showed that he's got good speed. So he's still only learning the ropes, and he's a horse in another 12 months. I think, you know, he's going to go right through his grades and be a real competitive horse. And the other Super Duper Dude was another impressive one too. Obviously, Seton Grom is doing a great job with his team, and he got a pretty easy lead time and just run off a really nice last half. So he's only a low-rated horse too, and he's one that's definitely going to win his share of races at Menangle.
We race today in the state at Penrith, which is unusual, but we race tomorrow back at Menangle for the usual Tuesday afternoon stuff. Thought you had a couple of decent drives there. Cause and Drama's a decent enough horse, and My Lightning McQueen comes out of a good race. Can you tip us a winner tomorrow?
Yeah, I think Cause and Drama, he's been bridesmaid his last couple, but I think he's found himself in a similar field to last week, and might be a race where we can use his gate speed tomorrow and see what he's like on the front end. Would be the way we look to do things tomorrow if that all works out. So of my three, he's probably the best, I'd say.
Mate, thanks for joining us on Sky Sport Radio this morning, mate, and looking forward to seeing you unleash Artie's Express at some stage, maybe this Saturday night at Menangle.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Mick.
That's Jack Traynor. He can train and he can drive, excuse the pun, but he can absolutely train a mare, and he's had some great ones, and he's got another really promising one who unleashes this Saturday at Menangle in Artie's Express, who is basically a New Zealand Cup quality horse. As mentioned, we are racing today at Penrith. I can't remember many Monday afternoon meetings at Penrith. First race there goes at 12:37. And there's eight races there. Josh Gallagher is joining us. He's got a nice book of drives. Before we talk to you about that, Josh, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I thought the horse you drove at Menangle on Saturday night's going to develop into a pretty good horse, American Spirit. I thought he found the line like a handy son of American Ideal.
Hey, Mick, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Thanks for having me on. He's been a really good addition to the stable, coming in as a young horse. Coming through the ranks, and it was just good to see him get over the line on a Saturday night.
Mate, we've got racing today, and you've all got a nice book. And the first on the card, you're driving a filly who goes pretty good. I think it's in the right type of race. It's not a very strong day of racing there, but you've got a second line draw with Omno Gift.
Yeah, she You know, she led at Newcastle on Friday and she didn't disappoint. Just, you know, we worked a bit hard going into the first turn to lead. And, you know, we're just going to have come with one run tonight. And, you know, hopefully she'll be running through the line and, you know, running into placings.
You've gone on one with no form in the third on the card, Halloween, but there's absolutely no form in this race. So if Halloween's going to have any type of chance, it's probably going to be today from one on the second line. He's had a decent career. He's won seven races, but, yes, like a lot of these, it's been a while.
Yeah, he's been racing at his Menangle his last probably 10 starts, and he's dropping back to Penrith here. You know, we've drawn seven on the fence already, so I can't see us be anywhere three worse back to fence. So I think we'll get a good run, and you know, we'll need a little bit of luck just to get out. But you know, I think if he finds that luck, we'll be thereabouts.
You're driving a horse in race five called Capital Lee. It's been around a fair bit. It's done a bit of travelling, but gets an okay barrier draw here. Slightly stronger field though.
Yeah, it you know, its last two runs. First, Steve Ferrugia been really good, and you know, it's been knocking at the door. And you know, if we get the right run here, I think we'll be right in the finish here. It gives me a good feel. So yeah, I really like this horse.
You're driving another one for Steve in race six. Night Walker again has been racing at Menangle. Gets barrier one at Penrith, which is a huge help. Does it have the gate speed to use it?
Yeah, he's got a bit of gate speed. You know, at Menangle, we haven't really used it as much. Just haven't been a big track and a long straight. We've just been leaving his speed to last. So, you know, he hasn't drawn barrier one around Penrith for a long time. So we might push the button early. And, you know, there's not a lot of standouts in this race. You know, Prince Louis is probably the hardest to beat. So, you know, I think if we can hold it out at the start, We'll be going all the way.
All right. What's your best chance of driving a winner this afternoon at Penrith?
Probably have to go with Night Walker. He's been a good old horse to me and to Steve. So yeah, it'd be good to see you can get over the line one more time.
Mate, you're driving a couple tomorrow at Menangle. One of those is also for Steve. You're driving Eugenie May in race four. Have you had a chance to do any form for tomorrow? Because you're driving a horse called Nokawawan, who's a pretty decent type of horse for Leon Jordan, race five. And, yeah, you've got a nice enough book there tomorrow. Can you pick one up at Menangle as well?
Yeah, I don't mind giving me a minute in the last. He's been a little bit naughty his last couple of starts, but he trialled last week and we changed a bit of gear on him and he said it really good in the run, so if he's on his best game tomorrow, I think it'll be hard to beat.
Did you get a chance to watch those races on Friday night? I know you were driving at Newcastle, but those two slot races were a bit of fun. And I think a lot of Australians really enjoyed seeing the Aussies dominate the trot for once.
Yeah, you know, to run first four over there in the trot, you know, in their backyard, beating the likes of Mark Curtin and that, you know, it's just something that we'll probably never see again. And yeah, it was good to see, you know, just the lead, to see how good he was to sit outside you know, Anton's horse. And yeah, it was just something else, really.
Great fun, wasn't it? So hey Josh, thanks for joining us, mate. Get round safe today. We appreciate your comments on your drives at Penrith. And, yeah, always good to have your thoughts on the pace.
Cheers, thank you.
Josh Gallagher, who drives at Penrith today, first there goes at 12:37. So that's really unusual with Penrith today. And then he has Menangle tomorrow, as does Jack Traynor. And Jack having those three good mares in at Menangle this Saturday night as we start to count down to the Mares Carnival there. Our congratulations to the Australians who did themselves proud at Cambridge on Friday night. And Just Believe will be sticking around to try and do the same in the next two Fridays. Not this Friday, the Friday after, and the one after that. So we'll keep you updated on that, myself and Brittany, on the pace over the next two, three or four weeks, depending how long they stick around. Always great to talk harness racing with you on this Monday. Congratulations to everybody who had success, not only in harness racing, but that magical, magical day at the championships on Saturday. It was pretty special to watch from afar. We'll take a break here, come back on the other side. The next On The Pace, by the way, with Brittany Graham, will be on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m.